Okay, what about comets? What do comets look like? I've said that comets have this volatile material inside of them, and which tends to evaporate. Look, it may only be 10% stuff like water ice, and it fools us into thinking they're totally different to asteroids. But comets look like this when we take them with a picture with a telescope. This is a comet, in fact, which, again, you would never have heard of. It's called Comet McNaught-Russell, discovered by two of my co-workers, Rob McNaught and Ken Russell, towards the end of last year. If you had been out and about with a decent pair of binoculars over Easter, you would have seen this object, and it would have been a good thing to see because it is, in fact, a significant comet. Now, don't let people fool you again into thinking that the last comet which came through was Halley's Comet in 1986. We're currently discovering comets at a rate of 30, 35, 40 a year. You know, at any particular time, I could go to a telescope and get observations of 5 or 10 comets. There are lots of the damn things. This one, in fact, is important for the following reason. Comet Halley, we have observations of going back to 241 BC. The Babylonians recorded it on some of their clay tablets back that far. Every 75, 76 years since then, we have recordings of its apparitions. In October of 1992, there was a bit of a fuss when a comet was rediscovered, a comet called Comet Swift-Tuttle, which was last observed in 1862. In fact, with its rediscovery, we found that there was a chance that it might be coming back to hit the Earth in the year 2126, which isn't of direct concern to us, but it is of concern to our great-great-great-grandchildren. And if it wasn't going to come back in the meantime, it was clearly essential that we should track it in order to be able to say, well, is it maybe going to hit the Earth in that year? And you might think that there are thousands of astronomers tracking it to make sure to say exactly when it's coming back, but the only people who are actually tracking it is my team at the Anglo-Australian Observatory. Everybody else has given up on it. Now, there is a good reason for that in that, I mean, it's still scientifically interesting to get the observations, but we now know that it will not hit the Earth. Comet Swift-Tuttle will not hit the Earth in the year 2126. The reason is that by going back through the history books, we could identify it with a comet observed in 1737 by a Jesuit minister called, or missionary called, Ignatius Kegler, who was in China at the time. And although he just noted it in his notebook, in his diary, it's of very great importance that we could then determine its orbital period more accurately. And in fact, we were then able to follow its orbit backwards and find that the Chinese observed it in AD 188 and in 69 BC. And believe it or not, even though their observations are very crude, that they were essential in allowing us to say that this comet, Swift-Tuttle, will miss the Earth by about 2 weeks in the year 2126. It may miss us by 13 days, it may be 15 days, but we know it isn't going to miss us by 0 days. It isn't going to hit. So that's another comet which we've observed back over 2,000 years. The reason that this is a significant comet is that we found that, in fact, the Chinese observed this one in AD 574. So going back in time, the three longest-term observations of comets which we have are Comet Halley, Comet Swift-Tuttle, and this one discovered in Australia last year, Comet McNaught-Russell. Now, that's the way in which a comet normally looks. You can see there's a big fuzzy ball with a streak coming across. And people will then say, what's all those lines of four dots? What we've actually done there is we've taken four observations and offset the telescope between the observations to be centered upon where the comet would be, given that it's moving. The four dots are due to the fact that the stars stand still, and so we've got four observations, or four blips, due to each of the stars. Okay? So that's all that's happened there. The reason we've added four together is just to get more brightness for the comet itself and be able to see its tail going across left to right, okay, in more detail. Now, that is the best sort of view we can expect to get of a comet, that sort of thing. We can't see the solid lump in the center, and the solid lump is what we're worried about. The solid lump is a thing which could zonk the Earth and cause a great catastrophe. Indeed, I would point out to you that the word disaster means bad star. Dis, as in disease, okay? Aster, as in asteroid, as in star. Okay? That is what the word disaster means. And it would be a disaster if one of these things were to hit the Earth, or we're still around to suffer the consequences. So we really need to know more about comets. So let's move on to the next slide. The comet which we know most about is Comet Halley. We've been observing it for over 2,000 years. And this is an image, actually a composite of a series of images, obtained by the Giotto spacecraft in 1986. And that is the only comet nucleus that we've been able to take a look at and get a good view of. And you can see that although it's got this gas coming out of it, which is causing this coma, as we call it, the cloud of vapor around it, which makes it very bright, essentially it looks like those shots of asteroids, which I showed you earlier. It's irregular in shape, and it's got craters on it clearly, and there's all sorts of other things we might read into these sorts of images. But clearly it is similar, basically, to asteroids. Now, what I want to tell you about Comet Halley is this. It's got to do with our ignorance. Comet Halley, I said, we've observed it for over 2,000 years. We sent 5 spacecraft there in 1986. There is no asteroid or comet which we know more about. But nevertheless, we do not know its mass and its density to closer than within a factor of 3. I can't tell you whether it is 50 billion tons in mass, or whether it's only 10, or whether maybe it's 100 billion tons. We don't know whether its density is the same as the density of a snowball, or a lump of rock, or a snowflake. To which extent we are profoundly ignorant even of this object, which, as I've said, is the object which we know most about a lot of times. Okay, what sort of orbits are these things on? Look, you probably know a few things about comet orbits. Here's just a little diagram showing you a few typical comet orbits. There's Comet Halley coming in, crossing the Earth's orbit. The Earth's orbit is the smallest circle. The little dot at the middle is the Sun. Bigger circle is Jupiter. But there are lots of comets which cross the Earth's orbit. I've put on here periodic comet Hartley 2, actually discovered by my co-worker Malcolm Hartley. You'll be hearing a lot about Comet Hartley 2 over the next decade, because the European Space Agency is planning to send a spacecraft there. It's called Rosetta, and the idea is it will grab a chunk of that comet and analyze it, and for the first time really tell us what comets are made of. That's one you're going to hear about. Maybe the first time you've heard of it tonight, but you're going to be hearing more about that, and I'm sure Malcolm is going to be inundated by people wanting to have his full story about how he discovered it whenever it was 15 years ago. There are lots of other comets which are on orbits which cross the Earth. The shortest period is Comet Encke. Every 3 years and 4 months it comes back again. So don't think that comets only come through every few decades, 76 years like Halley's Comet. That one comes back every 3 years and a bit. Other ones come through once only and we don't see them again. An example here is Comet Macholtz, a long period comet. If you went off the diagram, the two lines, incoming and outgoing for the comet, do not join up. It comes through once only. That's a parabolic orbit, as we call it. Okay? Those are actually a real problem because we can't predict them ahead of time. We can see them as they come in as close as Saturn, say, and that might give us 2 years, 3 years warning or somewhere thereabouts, but we cannot do the same thing as we can do with the periodic comets and asteroids, where we would be able to say, look, that object is going to hit us in 23 years' time unless we do something about it. Now, this, again, isn't a new idea. Here's a French lithograph from the 18th century when they didn't know how massive comets were, so it's got the Earth being actually broken up as the moon laughs in the background there. The Earth is being shattered into pieces. Now, that wouldn't actually happen, okay? Nor would the Earth be perturbed in its orbit by any significant amount, which is something people quite often ask me. Comets are too small masses in order to do that. Well, I showed you that picture of Comet Halley. That is the biggest Earth-crossing comet that we know of, and it is 15 by 12 by 8 kilometers. It would form a crater which might be a couple of hundred kilometers across, but it would not break the Earth apart. It would not knock us out of our orbit or anything like that, but it certainly would be a big bang, and here's a calculation of how big the bang is. The mass, as far as we can estimate it, is something like 50 million tons. Okay, the impact speed we know with great accuracy, 66 kilometers per second. Indeed, I point out to you that if you missed Halley's Comet in 1986, you do get a chance to see part of it twice a year. In the first week of May and in the third week of October, there are meteor showers which we know are fragments of Comet Halley, and they hit us every year. So every year, you've got a chance to go out and take a look at bits of Comet Halley hitting the Earth, and they do so at 66 kilometers per second, which is a very high speed. Remember that this comet is going to hit Jupiter at only 60 kilometers per second. The kinetic energy, when I calculate it, is just a half mv squared. Anybody who's ever done physics 101 at university or even HSC physics, I'd hope, know that a half mv squared is the kinetic energy. And again, I've got it in physicist unit there, 10 to the 23 joules. Look, that's equivalent to 20 million megatons of TNT. It's 300,000 times the biggest nuclear explosion we've ever let off. Another way of looking at it is that it's also enough to keep 7 million 100-watt light bulbs lit for a million years, which certainly tells you that your electricity bill would be huge if you tried to do such a thing, but it just really emphasizes that would be a gigantic explosion. Now, this could happen. Halley's Comet is not going to hit the Earth in the foreseeable future, not in the next couple of thousand years, but it could in the longer term. As its orbit changes and swivels around, it could hit the Earth.